This poem be the death of us. Be the morning of twinkling stars and flickering hopes, be the indoctrination of rage and shipwrecked hearts, or maybe this poem is a coded confession.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome. I am Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Podcast, where we talk to poets of the Sacramento scene. And right now, I got a poet here for y'all. You basically have heard her attack, aggressive, power, street on the microphone. But if you heard her on the street, as she basically chants and cries out to people and tells them what's going on politically in the world society. But you know what? If y'all don't know Jeanette Sims, then y'all don't know my sis, my slam mate, champion. She's writing a book. She's writing a chapbook coming up. She's also been with the Ladies in the Night. And she's also done her, it's going to be her 1 year anniversary of her first feature that she did called Becoming Iconic. Ladies and gentlemen, J-Ro. Woo! What up, sis?
Sunday,
it's funny, we are doing this on the 49er Super Bowl, so I'm glad that she came out. Basically, family called her up and said, "Yo, you going? Oh, what's up? You going to be there?" It's like, I understand. But no, thanks for coming to the show and talking with me. So my first question has always been, and I asked everyone, and starting off, what got you into poetry?
The $1 million question.
The $1 million question that people should be paying for.
Right. So what got me into poetry? Well, to be honest, I've always loved to write, but for so long I was kind of stuck in that mold of, student athlete. You know, you're the athlete, you know, you go to school, you get the grades, and you play sports. And so growing up, I kind of suppressed that itch to write a little bit, I guess you could say. And then, you know, as I went to college, I came back to Sacramento. I made some new friends.
Okay.
And they happened to also be into poetry. So one day, a friend invited me out to open mic, the Mahogany open mic, and I went, and I remember thinking, as I'm listening to poets get up there, whoa, someone else feels that too, and whoa, they expressed a lot of things in such a beautiful way, and whoa, I want to do that.
Okay.
So I went back home that night and I started writing, and I held on to a piece for a really long time before I shared it. So eventually I shared it with one of my good friends, and that turned into, okay, so it's Wednesday, so we're going to open mic. I got voluntold.
Don't we all get voluntold?
I did it. I went, I signed up, I read my poem, and it was such a rush, and it was such a cathartic moment, and such a just a therapeutic process, and I fell in love with it, and I never looked back. And you know, poetry writing is, I love it more than anything. So yeah.
And was this mic over at Shine? Speak Out Sacramento?
Oh, no. So this one, my first open mic was at Mahogany, the Queen Sheba one. And that was, you know, that was kind of the one I rocked with for the longest time. It was very much so like a comfort. And, you know, just as I continued to meet friends and more poets, I heard about different mics. So then that's when I kind of got put onto the Speak Out Sac. Shout out to Grace Losher for that.
Grace Losher.
Yeah. So that was kind of how I started to find more mics and just be able to share more. And it's crazy, you know, the more I was able to share, the bigger community got. And I love the poetry community so much. So.
Okay. And it's just so much has been going on. You've been involved with, you know, you've done, you had your, this is actually your anniversary of your first feature becoming iconic on the 13th of February. How does that feel? I mean, I know because I was a DJ then, so.
and you rocked it. Super Tough Brother. Yes, I remember that too. You know, it's really crazy. I remember that show was so nerve-wracking. It was, you know, as you said, my first, you know, showcase and like really organizing things. And yeah, it was such a big moment for me, with poetry. And what I was really stoked about was I was able to kind of, you know, have poets share that don't typically get picked first, even though they're so dope. So that was a really sweet moment for me. Also, again, just like seeing who showed up. Right. I had so much love, so much help putting that together, and I just felt so empowered. And so definitely looking to, you know, put on another one.
Okay.
You know, so I think this one might be called Too Iconic.
Hey, that's where you go. There you go.
See where that goes. But the idea is kind of the same thing. You know, I really want to bring some poets that are so dope into this show and really give them a chance to like share their work. And, you know, again, Sacramento has so many amazing poets. And I think sometimes we get caught up in picking the same ones over and over and over.
I feel your pain.
And so I really want to, you know, see who I can get to like come yell some words and, you know, and maybe introduce them to, you know, more of the Sac poetry.
Now that I think about it, it wasn't a feature. It was technically you coordinated it. Yeah. You organized it. It's basically you basically made a show with you just in it.
Yeah.
But you had other people. You had Paul Willis. Yeah, Grace was in it. I was DJing.
Yeah.
You had people in it, but they were like, you were basically just the end of it all, the end coming of it all in the show. But you're giving thanks to them and giving thanks, shout outs. But you just made the show just for them.
Yeah.
And then just had your name on front of it.
You know, that's
interesting. You're almost like a deaf poetry jam, but.
Yeah. I think I was like also obsessing with that at that time.
And also shout outs to Soul Collective for being the spot to set it up.
Yeah, super dope. They were so helpful. They really, you know, to the setup, to just like, hey, sis, what do you need? It was really dope. So they were awesome in that whole process. So who knows? I'm not sure where we're going to have this next one. We might keep it there. We might venture somewhere else.
But, okay.
You know, it's the idea again is to just, the idea behind the whole thing is that, you know, everyone has something to say and, you know, everyone has the ability to be a leader and, you know, there's so many things the word iconic could really mean, but I think at the end of the day, just realizing that your thoughts and your feelings and, you know, your beliefs are so important as well. And it's so incredibly important to speak your truth. And so that's the big idea behind like Too Iconic, being iconic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I hope I am on that one too, DJing it.
Hell yeah. Who else would I pick? Who else would I have?
Well, you know some people. Yeah. I think even Lady Char would have thrown her hand up in the basket if she wanted to. I ain't gonna shout out to Lady Char. You know, she's still one. But as you said before, you had athletic background. Yeah. So you're a professional bodybuilder.
I am.
So tell us about that.
Fun fact, right? Yes. It's really random. I am a professional bodybuilder. I don't necessarily talk a lot about it. But, you know, I fell into that, you know, almost 2 years ago now. And that was the year of Why Not Me.
Okay.
So I always love to work out and push myself. And so this was a different type of challenge. You know, a big part of that sport is, you know, getting up on stage and you're not, you know, you don't have a lot of clothing on. And so what that has done for me has really helped with my stage presence because, you know, you're up there in a bikini, essentially, right? There's not a lot on. And so now my whole mentality is, I get to yell words with clothes on. Psh, I'm feeling good. I'm mad confident. I got on clothes. It's good. but bodybuilding has been so helpful in terms of just really empowering me to own my presence and really step into that. So, yeah.
Okay. So is it semi-pro or pro or was it amateur?
So technically I am a professional, which is really weird to say. I do have my pro card. You know, and it's been such a amazing journey. Super blessed. I am taking a bit of a break from it.
Okay.
Just because I am enjoying food with taste right now. Lord knows.
Understandable.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, also just really throwing myself in back into my art and my poetry and trying to produce and share as much as I can right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know. That's... And speaking of which, you are a counselor, career counselor.
Indeed.
So you are an educator, technically.
Yeah.
You are an educator. Yeah. So how does that feel?
Oh, man. What's that like? It's amazing. You know, I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love helping students kind of figure out what's next and also pulling those strengths out. A big part of my poetry comes from my interactions, though. With my students.
Okay.
You know, they share their stories. I hear things. I am able to also see some of the holes that are just, you know, hanging out within the educational system. It's actually pretty crazy how the system works. And so a lot of that has inspired, you know, some of those social justice pieces. You know, I go to work and I'm hearing a story and I'm like, what happened? You know, it's from even, you know, having... trying to help students navigate the healthcare system, right? Or just trying to survive. And it's so cyclical and it just gets to a point where you're like, what is going on? And so I write about it. And so it's fueled a lot of my poetry. But overall, being a career counselor, you know, it's those little interactions throughout the day too.
Right.
That really help me. Kind of, it gives me something to write about. I love, that's one thing I think that poetry has done. It's really opened me up in the sense of like, yo, there is so much beauty within everyone. Everyone has a dope story. And a big part of my job as a poet is to not just share words, but also listen, right? I think sometimes we forget it's so important to just listen. So, you know, in terms of how does career counseling affect poetry, it has a big part. It plays a huge part in it. But again, love what I do. Not a huge fan of the educational system. So, you know, there's some battles, you know, sometimes. But yeah, it's just, it's one and the same. It's advocating, right? So.
Does it, do any of your students know that you're a professional bodybuilder?
No. Because then it's like, you know, oh, are there pictures? And then that's just awkward.
So like, pop up on.
Right. I'm like,
social media, bam.
Boom, I know. I barely post anything yes. about that.
I literally had to find someone like, oh, there's one.
It's like a little fun fact about me. But yeah, no, I don't really share that piece. They know that I'm into fitness and I think it's important to, you know, focus on your health holistically. But yeah, I kind of keep that.
That little to yourself?
Yeah.
Well, literally it's always been fun in fact of finding out about, you know, with your poems and stuff, you have a lot of political vibing poems so that are so intricate and deep and the message is so... It's so harsh. It basically it'll basically grabs you and grips your heart a little bit. That even some of your political poems even go further than that. That you even did the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was in I think that was in last 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago. November or something like that. Or October.
It was a little bit later.
Yeah.
Or I guess technically earlier in the year. It was like I think it was actually.
She said, "Fire calms me." Says the truth is fortified in flames, says flames are just Mother Nature's way of affirming rage, of starting over, of banishing clutter and breathing life into freedom. And I wondered if by fire she meant light.
Gosh, February was a big month, has always been a big month, but I think it was February.
Oh, it was? Okay.
I believe so, but it was about 2 years ago.
And it was in San Diego, right?
San Diego,
yeah.
And that was one hell of an experience,
yeah.
I'll tell you. Whoa.
What happened?
You know, it's one of those things. So essentially what happened was there were a handful of Sacramento poets that were selected to go spit at the Democratic Convention.
Okay.
And the idea was to kind of, you know, liven it up, break up some of the monotony, and also just kind of turn, you know, take the political piece of what was happening and give people some art. So they were kind of, you know, hand in hand. But the interesting thing was, you know, the expectation was, you know, that we were going to be spitting poetry literally all day. And the way that it was set up, we didn't have a stage. We were literally kind of just in this big lobby area, just where there was a lot of foot traffic. And we were just, I mean, we were spitting poetry for hours. And, you know, it was ebb and flow. At some point, we did have people stop and listen, and, you know, you could kind of see the wheels turning. And at some points, it was just like people were not, they were not willing to listen. And so it was just, it was so taxing in a different sense. It was you spilling your heart and soul out for hours and almost feeling like, you know, people weren't willing for a while to hear what you were saying. And so it was exhausting. But, you know, a couple of beautiful things came out of that trip. I was able to connect with some really dope poets that to this day I consider family, best friends. We went through so much together with that trip. And then it also just, it really taught me the importance of standing your ground and speaking your truth. And even when you think no one is listening, someone's listening. Because there were a few times when I was like, yo, like, people are just walking by, no one's listening. And then we, you know, take a 30-minute break, whatever, and someone would come tap one of us on the shoulder and thank us.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, there's some hope here. People are listening. And I think that's just a true testament to life. You know, people get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the everyday grind. And, you know, it's like, it's hard to tell whether or not, you know, people are listening or even aware of what's happening. But every now and again, you get a surprise, right? And so that was kind of how I saw that. Also, I'll tell you, it really helped me build my stamina as a poet, right?
How so?
Like, just, again, it was that, just the whole idea of literally just spilling your heart and soul out for hours at a time. You know, we had a couple of pieces and we were just moving throughout the building in different spots. And so it, you know, wow, I was drained by the end of it. But it was one of those things where it was like, yo, I just did that. I can definitely murk or kill a 30-minute set like that now. You know, it builds you up and it prepared me for that. So I'm super grateful for that experience. And I would do it again in a heartbeat for sure. Yeah.
So as they point out, I mean, you got physical stamina, you now got mental stamina, now you got some stamina in the political realm. I was wondering about this. This is one of the things that basically, I'm going to throw this question out. Basically, the literary poets and then the performance poems, they got a thing they call the page and the stage.
Oh, yes.
So what do you feel? I would say, what do you feel comfortable at? But it seems like you feel more comfortable at the stage, or am I wrong?
You know what? Right now I'd say stage.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for me, it's sometimes, you know, when you're writing, you're like, are they gonna understand the magnitude of this line? Is this line clear? Is it just hard to follow? When I'm performing, all kinds of things come into play. So my tone, my actions, how I'm, you know, even my stance, you know, I think helps really paint the picture, and it, I hope it makes it a little bit easier for people to understand, because, you know, with my work, I do use a lot of metaphors and it's not so direct all the time. And so I think right now I'm definitely more comfortable on the stage, which is funny because I'm also very much so focused on now improving my performance and really delivering and really being super present in each piece. And so I'm trying to tap into, like, where was I when I wrote this?
Okay.
And then trying to deliver that. But that also gets tricky too, because you have to be able to balance it and not get too caught up in that piece, because then you're emotionally invested and that can be very taxing. And also, you know, you have to stay balanced, right? I think sometimes as poets, we get caught up in, you know, a lot of what fuels us, just based upon what I've even heard from other artists, is like, you know, a painful experience. Right. We tend to write when we're in pain or we're sad or we're mad. And so that, I think, has been, it's going back to that question, page or stage, when you're delivering a poem that you wrote when you were so sad, you know, it's also your responsibility to deliver pieces that will help the audience, pull the audience out of that as well. And so I think this is a little off topic, a little bit of a tangent, but also when I get to a point where I have more pieces that are focused on the positive,
right,
my ability to put together a complete show will be on another level. Because I do think it is the artist's responsibility to, yes, speak your truth, and be vulnerable, but it's also your responsibility to make sure that you're not leaving the crowd feeling too low or too upset or too, you know what I mean? It's a responsibility of the artist. So right now, going back to that original question, yeah, stage. That was a long-winded answer.
No, it's a long-winded, but it does ask, it does point out some other questions. I always call that the gripper, the tearjerker, the idea of the poem that basically has taken you back into the spot where you were vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Your fear kicked in and your emotions took over. And I've seen a lot of poets who, when they finish it, they go right into, they drop right into tears, crying. They have to go outside. They have to take themselves just somewhere away from, so they can get away from the stage and the poem themselves.
Basically,
they break down and stuff. So yeah. It's the way you said that, it's true. It's we do bring out what we're trying to, ourselves trying to get out, but we do sometimes, it takes us too far. I'm like, whoa, I got to leave.
Yeah.
I'll return when.
Yeah, I'll come back.
I'll come back with it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've seen you had that happen to you a couple of times. Yeah. I've seen also, even with Izzy, she's had that happen to her on stage. It's just with her poem about her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shout out to Izzy.
IzzyLala.com. I've seen also Chloe and a lot of people. Even Grace has fallen to that too. Mm-hmm. So, Is it really the fact of the poem itself having so much that when you were at that state,
mm-hmm.
you put on paper that you reread it and you're just wondering, wow, what happened?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, especially for me when I'm reading a piece that has to do with, you know, heartbreak or something, it can be an emotional experience and not necessarily a negative one, but it can also be like, whoa, I've come so far from that point in time, you know? And I think to being able to perform and deliver and convey the emotions that are, you know, that you're wanting to be expressed in a poem, I think the artist's ability to not get so sucked into that comes with time and practice. Because I've been talking to some poets that have been doing this for a while.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that I gotta say, shout out to Anne Yes, has been really good about is just, you know, conveying like, yes, you can deliver this poem, sure, but you don't have to get sucked into that every time you perform it.
Oh, okay.
You can tap in without, you know, getting too deep. And so that's just, I think that comes with time.
Right.
Yeah. So I can't wait for myself to get there. Like, how long does this take? Yeah.
Well, I mean, so from after doing your feature, Becoming Iconic, well, doing your show that you made, Becoming Iconic, you've also not only did the open mics, but you started hitting the slams.
Yeah.
You even won a couple. You even won a few of them.
One
so,
yeah.
Which actually got you into going to the SAC Unified, SAC, with the SAC Unified Slam team out to Chicago to go to the tournament and stuff.
Yeah.
And y'all got 20th. So how do you feel about that? How was that ride?
Wow. Whoa, such an experience. again, that's such a memorable moment. Wow, I learned so much. And it's so funny, you know, I think a lot of poets worry about dropping your poem, right?
Okay.
Like forgetting the words.
Right.
And you prepare, you do all these things. And so this was the first time I dropped some lines.
What? Well, that's new. This is new information.
Of all the places. I'm just going to share this experience because I think it's a very important one to share.
Go ahead.
But yeah, of all the places, J-Ro drops her poem at Nationals. I know. And it was one of those things where I remember I was going, I was in there, I was spitting the inward piece. So,
yes.
I'm fired up, right?
That one.
And I'm in there and I'm killing it. And I connect with someone in the audience, eye contact. And I, all of a sudden, all of the words in my head, just, I think they poured out of my ear. I forgot I just drew a huge blank. And I was like, wait a minute. So in my mind, I'm like, what? What's going on? And you learn little tricks and tips as a performer. Like if you forget something, try, repeating that last line twice, putting some drama on it, and then hopefully you can recall. Yeah, J-Ro just couldn't recall. So I ended up, I froze for maybe like 5 seconds, looked at the crowd, and I literally said, F it, I'm gonna start from the top. So I go back up to the top of my poem, and I'm going. And, it was one of those things where you kind of black out and you just remember finishing and being like, whoa, I am exhausted. But I think the dopest part with all of that happened was, I was so worried of like, oh, my team's going to be so pissed at me.
Right.
I just dropped this. It was the complete opposite. It was like, sis, it happens all the time. And, I had a super dope coach, Ike Torres, was like, nah, I did the same thing, except, he shared his story. He's like, except I didn't bounce back. And, it was just the love and the just encouragement that came after that meant the world to me. And I think that really just drew me closer to all of those poets. And so that's family,
Yeah.
The slam team, family. You're on the team.
I'm on the team.
Your brother, I see Show and Jenny at the slams. It's always home. It's always family. It's always huge hugs and so much love. And then also just being in Chicago and peeping some of that culture there,
Was that your first time in Chicago?
Yeah, first time. It was a beautiful city. There were a lot of dope poets there. I got to do the touristy things and then also just kind of explore the non-so-touristy parts. I saw some cool poets out there. And it was just such the whole process, right? The practices late at night, just the repetition, you have a full day of work and gym and then you come home and you're in the mirror practicing your movements and trying to hit certain points and, the whole process of being just, the highs, the lows, the tiredness, the joy that came out of it, the relief that comes out of it. And so it was such an incredible experience. And I think we all really, so that the first night we all did pretty good, but that second night, we went in, I think we really made some noise and I think people were kind of like, okay, Sacramento,
okay.
I think people sleep on us a little bit. We got some dope artists here.
And yeah, we got 20th,
man,
right?
Yeah. So we did our thing. And, I think, the next time around it's going to be even better. So
it was like 72 teams or something.
Yeah. It was like about 72, maybe a little more.
Okay.
So
yeah, we really parked up. Yeah.
For sure. So yeah.
Top 20, you might as well.
Hey, like, we're in there, and it was pretty close. I mean, places where the difference between, 19th and 18th where it could have been a half a point,
yeah.
It also just is so many things come into play with things like that. It's the judges. They're random judges. And some judges are feeling different types of poetry. And, you know, you got to kind of, as the artist, read the room. How are they going to respond to this, right? But then that's the hard part with slam.
Right.
That's the struggle, because then you have to be careful to not get caught up in just trying to get the points.
Right.
You got to remember why you wrote it, why you're there. It's not just about the points. And so I fell into that for a little bit. And so I had to kind of take a break and go back to the drawing boards and just, you know, remember why I write. But yeah, overall, that slam, that experience was amazing. Learned a ton, and yeah, hopefully we can, you know, do it again soon.
Well, let's talk about your poems and stuff. I mean, you have the N-word.
Yeah.
He called me the N-word.
Yeah.
And that one resonates with me, because every time I hear you say it, the first time that comes out, he called me.
Yeah.
And it always makes me wonder. It's like, I can see you in that position right there. Someone just like, just like how Stacey G talks about the ABC poem and stuff, is in that kind of wavelength of, I'm a woman, I am this, I am, he basically doesn't understand the situation, and he basically had the gall to go, nigga.
Yeah, bruh, I'm telling you.
And even your woman poem, same thing, where you are trying to tell people that I am more than what y'all see in the magazines, and I'm a black woman also, and the fact of that.
Yes. So,
and I know you have one poem where you use the that part into it, where you're like the that and da da. I forgot what poem that was. It's I know it's not the woman poem. I know it's not the nigga poem. I know it's like, damn, I forgot it.
How does it?
It's like dun dun. You know, every time you have that as your staple in the, when you do the poem stuff. I just blanked out right now. What the
is fuck? This the one where I'm talking about the? Is it the stuff I touch on? Stephon Clark being shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Stephon Clark. Yeah.
No,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Brokenhearted Revolution. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And a lot of what I write is just things that are, I'm just writing about things that are happening, whether it's to myself or my, you know, members of the community or students or whatever. So there's the thing with identity with everyone. There's so many components to it. And so I find myself writing about the two bigger ones right now for me, just being black and woman.
Do you see something being like a street reporter?
A street reporter?
Yeah, basically you see like the Stephon Clark situation, how women are portrayed, how black people are portrayed, how society still, even in Sacramento itself, having their biases and their prejudices and stuff. Do you see yourself sometimes as your poem as a street reporter? Because most of your poems do come out like speeches.
When our foundation of understanding refuses to uphold deception, we untangle lips, speak exclusively in our truth, digest sunset and spark curiosity when existing in our truth equates to daily combat and habitual pain. Sirens use flickering lights to illuminate a soulless smile and godless attitude. When we are forced to create something out of nothing, we call it magic. Move mountains, part seas like the ghost guiding our spirit. We rise with vengeance, unveil battles that should not belong to...
Yes.
And they go, I can actually put you out there on the Capitol stairway and you can do your poem and people will be like, is she doing a speech?
Thank you. I'll take that as like the best compliment ever.
Well, no, it's a compliment.
Most death. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, it's really funny. I don't think I'm a typical slam poet in that sense, the way that I kind of piece poems together. And I think that the way that they're worded, I think make it a little bit easier for people to digest sometimes, because again, I am using some of those metaphors, even though I am pretty much in your face. There are parts where it's like, all right, you know, it's a little softer and I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. And, you know, if one person comes up to me and says, thank you, it gave me something to think about, then I had a phenomenal day. That's the biggest thing. And so, you know, I think I surprise a lot of people, especially when they're like, oh, slam poet. Okay. I think they're thinking it's going to be like more of that rap type vibe, which is dope. There's, you know, is super dope. One of my favorite ways to deliver, but, yeah, the way I deliver is a bit different. And right. So I think it kind of helps to capture the audience sometimes.
But it does help on the representation that we're not all rappy or sing-songy.
Yeah, it's like a big thing.
And even the fact of even some of the clips of what you say, they can go back and say, look that up.
Yeah, that part. Yeah, it's so interesting, you know. You know, someone will come up. I've never heard spoken word done like that before. It's like, oh, great. Wonderful. And I'm hoping that then that's when I kind of have that conversation of like, and I hope you continue to check out some more spoken word artists and even peep some slams, because wow, do we have some super eloquent, dope writers. And yeah, you might need a little dose of some truth serum on like a real tip for real. So.
But even with that, that got you into being with Angela James and also Carol, being all together, the first start of the Ladies of the Night.
Yes. What a
night with a K.
Yeah, with a K, everyone, okay? We're keeping it classy out here.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so that, whoa. Okay, again, another great experience where I was able to learn a ton from those women. You know, Angela is no joke. When we practice, she's going to let you know what isn't good and what's good, right? And so learning to just take that criticism and not take it personally and be like, okay, I hear what she's saying. Let me think about this and see how I can, you know, improve that part. That was a really good thing for me. And then shout out to Carolyn, who just was really taught me the importance of organizing my work. Right? Because it's as crazy as it sounds, I had poems all over the place. Some were on my computer, some were in a notebook, you know, some were in email. And so I just, with her, she's like, hey, you got to get them in one spot. And as small as that sounds, being able to, you know, get all of my poems on a Google Doc and, you know, keep them organized and, you know, printing them out, putting them in a binder, just preparation. That piece, I learned a lot from her. Also, just like putting yourself out there. That woman goes for it. You know, she's gonna submit work and it is what it is. And if it, you know, doesn't get picked up, she's like, all right, cool. Next, on to the next. And so that fearlessness, I really just admire about the both of them. And that was something that I, you know, going into 2020, I was like, okay, yeah, I gotta just go for it. And so that was a huge moment. Also being able to perform alongside a storyteller and more of that traditional type of poet just was a very interesting experience, and just really learning how, you know, what spoken word is, I think, is taking storytelling and poetry, traditional poetry, putting them together, and delivering more of a performance-based type vibe piece, right? And so just learning, you know, a little bit more about those two components, especially the storytelling. With Angela, she's all in, you know, there's no half stepping with her. She really fully commits, and she's it's take it or leave it with her. And again, super just healthy and good for my art. Yeah.
And that was like what, seven stop tour?
Yeah. We were, you know, we did a little NorCal thing. From Turlock to Yuba. We were in Davis.
Placerville?
Placerville. We were up there. We had a couple of shows in Sacramento. Yeah. The last one we did was pretty epic, I guess. And then we were able to bring in one of my dearest friends and favorite poets, which Grace Losher.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that was just so much fun. You know, it was already fun with those two, but then you bring in one of your best friends and it's such a great experience. So, yeah, what a wonderful project. And you know, I think there's talk of, you know, picking up some more dates. And,
okay.
So we'll see where the wind takes us on that one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And you did my show in the park, Fremont Park, Hot Poetry in the Park. And I'm grateful you did that and stuff. But how did that feel? I mean, normally I know a lot of shows are done inside mm-hmm. Sacramento Poetry Center, but that time in the summertime, I'm the one that do my shows in the park park and stuff. I know it's a little different. You're basically speeding on grass. You have a lot of cars rolling down, and it's like I'm getting more concerned with the fact like. Get on the mic. I can't hear you.
Yell the words louder. There's cars driving by. Dude, also, thanks for having me.
Most definitely. You and Jenny Lynn.
That was so fun. And it was such a, I love, honestly, I kind of consider that guerrilla poetry, right? That whole notion of just we're spitting wherever we are. And it was so beautiful. I think, and that was one of those summer days where it was like, wait, it's not hot as hell. It's actually a perfect day.
Yeah.
I just remember feeling super happy being out there. And, you know, there was a lot of just wonderful poets and friends there. And the vibe was cool. We had some snacks. So, that was hella fun. Oh, yeah. I love doing stuff like that. I'm all for it.
Nice.
You know? And, you know, it gives people who wouldn't necessarily be intentional about going to listen to poetry, it gives them an opportunity to walk by and say, oh, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
I saw that happen, you know, so that was dope, and you're dope for doing that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now we're coming up to the new stuff, that's the upcoming stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about World of Women's.
Yes.
In Dallas.
And
it's going to be you and your mate, Stacey G.
Yeah.
And I hear that Jen Lynn's coming too.
Yes.
But I know right now you two are the ones performing.
Yeah.
It's going to be you and Stacey G performing. How does that feel?
Oh, well,
and I've heard her side. I think I wonder if you heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't, tell me about your side, how this came about.
So first of all, I love Stacey G so freaking much. Gosh. Slam Sis. So we tap in every so often, just, hey, whatever, how you doing? You still breathing? You still kicking? All the things. And so also, like, yo, sis, you trying to slam? There's this coming up. So Stacey sends me, all she did was send me the flyer. It's like, women of the world, sign up, do the things. And so just like, I was like, hell yeah, you doing it? She's like, yeah, I already signed up. I'm like, word, I'm signing up right now. So I signed up and we, you know, connected, we talked, we met up a few times and we talked about like what our point is for going out there. What's our purpose? How do we want to go about sending ourselves out there? What do we hope to get out of it? And I think in a lot of ways, we're kind of looking for the same thing. I know we're really trying to push ourselves with sharing more, and I'm super proud of her. I know she just came out with the dope chat book, which if you don't have, you should get, World. I'm just saying.
Iridescence.
Yeah. Super dope. And just very eloquent and simple at the same time. And it's just like, wait, how do you do it? But you know, it's really, I'm excited to be sharing this with her. I think we're poets that are just continuing to like nurture our craft and really tap into the power. And I think with every day that goes by, we start to feel a little bit more confident. And so I'm super pumped to see kind of how that's going to unfold out there. And it's really funny because we are actually in the same bout the first night.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're actually kind of, you know, I guess I don't want to say going against each other, but yeah, we're going to be spitting in the same bout. So yeah, but I know it's going to be a really good thing to have her just there. We can, you know, just, hey, you got this, encourage each other, support each other. And then having Jenny Lynn come out there is really dope because she's kind of like, you know, the slam mom. Right.
Yeah.
So even going, we were in Chicago for national, she was like super mom mode and literally ironed all of our clothes.
Wow.
for the first bout.
Well,
right.
I
was like, okay, mom, great. Super funny. So I'm just, it's going to be so much fun with those two. And we're also just really going to focus on having fun. Right. So we've talked about what we're going to wear, you know, where we're going to stay, what we're trying to do while we're out there. And so I'm excited to kind of experience this with them and to be surrounded by a lot of dope, powerful women. And it's not about winning the slam for me. Of course, I want to score well. And of course, yeah, if I do well and I win, great, phenomenal. But it's more so about learning. I'm going to be around some powerful women. And I know that, you know, they have a different perspective and some more insight. And so I'm going with an open heart. And so, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. Okay, I'm so excited.
And being that Jenny Lynn was last year's a representative of Sacramento for the women's for the World of Women's in New York, so you're basically taking on you two are basically taking on the next chapter of or the next year of this year's Women of the World, and it's in the same equivalence as how Brandon Leak and Yes did with IWIPS.
Yeah.
Well, it's the representation of, even though Brandon did with Stockton. Mm-hmm. He's a sack boy.
But for real, he's a sack boy.
You two are representing SAC.
Mm-hmm.
So is Sacramento now waking up and saying, you know, we gotta get out there because they don't see us. I mean, there's Oakland, San Jose got theirs, Oakland, Berkeley even got theirs. I mean, it's like right next door to each other.
Yeah.
Somehow SAC is always like, huh.
They sleep on us, man. They really do. But it's crazy because we did the chillest slam this past summer.
Right.
And we got down, we came in second. And I know that really surprised people. And the thing with that is we weren't even originally supposed to go.
Oh, really?
We were an alternate and we went out there and got busy. And so, yeah, I think this will be a great opportunity to kind of show people like, yo, Sacramento again has some dope poets.
Right.
And I think that's part of the fun too, is like, I'm going to represent, right? But yeah, to be so real in terms of how I feel about SAC poets and in comparison to other cities, states, whatever, we're up there.
Yeah.
And I think the more we send people out and the more people from SAC share in different places, the more people will start to recognize that.
Because you also went to the Berkeley and Roots and stuff. How did it feel over there?
It was dope. Again, it's like one of those things where you can kind of, you can sense that people are surprised that y'all just got that busy. They're like, wait a minute, hold on. And I specifically remember being like, because someone like went in on one of their poems, got a dope high score. And I remember someone from another team being like, oh, that was Sacramento? And Jenny was like, yup, that was us, word. And so it's just like, it's so funny to see how surprised they are when we come down and we just like get busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Representation up here.
Heck yeah.
So even the representation of it and since Stacey, you got her book and even your one of your best friends, Izzy Lala, got her book coming out and stuff. Is there a book we've seen from you?
Yes. Okay, so I am currently working on a chat book.
Uh-oh. What's it called?
I don't know yet.
Okay. To be continued.
To be continued, right? I don't know. That's like such a hard... I've been thinking about some ideas, but I don't know. I think it'll come to me. Anyways, I do have... you know, the poems, the material is there. So now I'm just in the process of like, you know, putting things in order and just really like, okay, is it ready? Which is such a scary feeling. So
is this chapbook going to be made to do the poems, get the poems that you're already done on print?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like how comedians do jokes. They need somewhere to put their stuff in a feature to get it out the door, an hour long feature, so they can just say, okay, these jokes are done.
Yeah.
You want to hear them? Go here. You can buy them. I'm good.
Yes, Lord.
is it that feel for the poems that you're... Okay.
Yeah. So I take with this chapbook, you'll see a lot of my spoken word pieces incorporated into them. But I think what is a little scary is I have a lot of short poems in there.
Really?
That I don't share often. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, you know that I even you know, write poetry like that. I think they're just like, yo, she's spoken word.
Right.
But yeah, so there's a lot of those. I think that it'll surprise a lot of people. And I will say that the shorter pieces are a lot softer. So a lot of, especially lately, the shorter pieces I've been writing about just love and the process of falling in love. And then, you know, also not just with someone else, but with yourself. And so I think it's a great balance. So, you know, you have the punchier pieces that are, you know, incorporating a lot of social justice, you know, the political thing. And then you have, you know, pieces to balance that out with the softer side. And so that's the scary thing to share.
Okay.
So a big part of that is just convincing myself that it's ready, because I think it is ready, but I'm just sitting on it. So we'll see. The idea is to get this bad boy out, though, before I head out to Women of the World.
Oh, so you're trying to get out before the end of March.
Yeah, so I need to stop playing.
you need a title to start it up then.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to just write with me and hold me accountable, that's great, coming out.
Hey, you're also married. This is your second year?
Huh?
Second year being married?
Oh, you know, yeah.
Or 2 years?
Yeah,
oh,
you okay. know, it's been a process. There's been some ups and some downs. I bet. You know. Jesus Christ. It's not easy, folks.
I do doesn't say mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, it's a big part of it. It's communicating, learning to communicate. Also just learning what you are and what you're not going to rock with. And so you grow a lot. I've grown a ton throughout this process. You know, it's been a doozy. It's been a doozy. So
well, no, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's, yeah.
But you get, but like you say, Women War, I mean, you are going to do this. Is there anything else that you're going, beyond that, you're going to be doing Ike Torres is in April.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be doing Ike Torres' one-man show. You're going to be one of his features before
man.
He starts this. So that's over at Jerry Theater and stuff. So how do you feel about that?
I'm so excited for that.
Okay.
That's, first of all, Ike's work is amazing. And so I'm honored, truthfully, honestly, to be able to share a stage with him. And I'm so incredibly grateful for the opportunity. I know I'm going to learn a lot. I always do from him. And I know we're going to put on one hell of a show for sure. That's going to be lit.
But you already had one last Thursday.
Yeah. So yeah, we were both kind of just working some stuff out and, you know, part of that process. But you know, from what I was hearing, you know, it's going to be a very vulnerable show, and it's going to be a powerful show, and it's going to be dope. That's okay. All I have to say. It's okay. Going to be dope. So yeah, that's happening in April, you know, so everyone.
Well, you already got January, February, March out the way, and April coming up.
It's coming. Okay. Yeah. And you know,
you're busy.
Busy. Yeah, this is the big push. 2020, you know. It's like with anyone, anything else, any other type of dream you have, you got to do it. You got to put yourself out there. And if you don't, that's your fault. You'll never know until you give it a shot. So,
but I'm saying you're going to be, it's also election year. So I know you're going to be on that one too.
Your girl got some stuff she's working on right now.
Okay.
Oh man, it's going to be, oh Lord, let us pray, guys. We're going to make it, right? Jesus. Little orange man.
But speaking of which, where can they find your work, or where can they find you at on social media and their website?
All right.
We're going to get your website.
I know. I am like, it's actually really crazy. I'm just coming to this realization of like, all right, J-Ro, like, get your ass in gear. So you can find me though on Instagram, Simply Smiles. So it's SEMPLY_smiles. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Promise. I'm also on Facebook, Jeanette Sem. And then yes, working on getting a website up sooner than later. And so it'll be like jro.com. So I'll be as cool as Izzy.
Most definitely.
<Yeah.
laughs> Well, thanks, sis, for coming out and rocking with me on this my new podcast.
This is so dope.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. No, I have to put everyone on my team.
Yeah, I hella appreciate you having me out. Dope. Super fun.
But no, thanks for coming out. And everyone, thanks for checking us out. We'll basically put all the information in the show notes, and we'll also put at the end of this show, I'll tell you all the information for Iambic. I want y'all to take care of yourselves and peace. See ya.
As the episode comes to a close, please go to linktree.com/iambictheme. That's linktr.ee/iambiczine. Please send any emails that you may have to iambiczine@gmail.com. Music by Mr. Resolution. Recorded and show has been recorded and edited by A Serious Productions. And we'll see you at the next show. Bye.